Chapter 10. The British Leave India. At the beginning of 1947, things looked very bad. The British were very worried, and they needed a new policy. The British Prime Minister suddenly announced on the 20th of February, "We will leave India by the end of next year." He sent a new representative, Lord Mountbatten, to India to make this happen, and I spoke to him. "You must leave India now," I told him. "You are masters in somebody else's home. You must humiliate us to control us." "We want to leave, but what will happen? There is so much violence," he answered, very worried. "We can't just walk out." "Yes, you can. There will be chaos for a time, but in the end, we will survive," I answered. "There is no nation on earth that wouldn't prefer its own chaos to calm under a foreign rule." Finally, the British decided to leave India on the 15th of August that year. But unfortunately, India was now going to be two countries, India and Pakistan. The Muslims began to move from their homes into the areas of their new country, and the Hindus in Pakistan moved to India. There was still much violence, and I was very worried. What was going to happen when we became independent? I talked of peace and non-violence to everybody. I listened to the people. I tried to solve as many problems as I could. But I knew things were only going to be worse. On the day the British left, there was no time to celebrate. Terrible fighting began between the Hindus and the Muslims. Hundreds of thousands of people were killed. Millions were forced to leave their homes with nowhere to go. I felt powerless. Every night, I talked to the people and tried to stop the violence. In November, I went to visit camps of homeless Hindus and Muslims. I told them, "I'm sad to see so many of you without homes. I can help you most if I tell you how to be better. You must help each other. You must live for others, and not only for yourselves." On the 13th of January 1948, I decided to fast in my home in Delhi until the fighting stopped or I died. I might die, but death will be better than to see the suffering of my people, I said. I will end my fast when Delhi is peaceful. If Delhi is destroyed, all of India will be destroyed. I don't care if the fast continues for a long time. I will continue as long as necessary. The doctors were worried about me. I didn't want to let them examine me, but they said, "If we cannot tell the people about your condition, they will not be affected by your protest." In the end, I let them examine me. By the third day of the fast, I was very weak. I couldn't even drink water. It made me sick. I lay all day on a small bed at the entrance to my home. An endless line of people walked by to look at me. Many cried and said prayers. They could see my pain. But even in pain, I felt good. I was doing everything I could to help bring peace, and this made me feel at peace with myself. That morning, I spoke to the people on the radio from my bed. I wasn't able to get up. Finally, my fast began to change things. People started to think about the terrible things they were doing. They knew they must do something real, or I couldn't stop my fast. On the 18th of January, representatives of the two sides came to me and signed a peace agreement in front of me. The Hindus promised, "We will protect the life, property, and religion of the Muslims, and there will be no more violence." The Muslims said, "We will also stop the fighting and live in peace with our Hindu brothers." Were they saying these things just to save my life, or did they really mean them? I wasn't sure. You must keep your promises, I said. You must also convince all India to do the same. I thought for a long time, and then I announced, I will stop fasting. Somebody gave me a glass of orange juice, and I drank it slowly. That evening, in the prayer meeting, I said, there must now be complete friendship between Hindus, Muslims, Christians, and Jews. This friendship must never be broken. The violence stopped in most places, but I was afraid the two countries wouldn't be friends for a very long time. At a prayer meeting a few days later, in the middle of my talk, a young man threw a bomb over the garden wall. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. I was very calm after the incident. The next day, somebody asked me a question. Why were you so calm when the bomb was thrown into the garden? I explained, I'm not angry at the boy. He probably sees me as his enemy. The police shouldn't arrest him. They should teach him to think in the right way. Muslims and Hindus are all children of Mother India.